What's up, church? How you guys doing this morning? Good. All right, good, 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 good. You ever know that person who always needs to be seen by others? All right, you know who I'm talking about in your life. Maybe think back to that kid at school when you're growing up. All right, the kid on the playground or wherever, like he just always had to show off. All right, he was all showing off, doing everything so that people would see him and laugh or whatever. That lady at work who's always jockeying for attention. You know what I mean? That lady. The truth is, we all have a desire to be seen, and actually, it's something that's kind of within us. That's why, like, my six-year-old Lizzie, she comes running up to me all the time. She's like, hey, Dad, watch me do this. Hey, Dad, look at this. Hey, Dad, look at me. You know, it's just constant. It seems like even for kids, like, they grow up a little, you know, they get a little older, they start doing sports and things like that, and they get that base hit or score that goal or make that basket or make that catch or whatever. And after they're done, a lot of times, you know what they do? They, like, look back. See if the parents saw them, you know, like they want to see if you saw, or maybe about third grade. Some of us, if you could think back, like some of you guys, all right, think back to third grade. Maybe a lot of you, maybe some of you's been a while, all right. Third grade is kind of when things start to change. I feel like where you like bomb that kickball at recess on the playground, you know, or you outrun that kid, and you're always like the first thing. Like it switches where your first moment is not that your boys see you. It's like, did she see me? You know what I mean? Like, did she see me? Hey, did you see? I just outran that kid. I'm faster than him. You know, I kicked that ball farther. Things like that. I told you guys this last year, but when I was in college, I had a group of my high school friends. There's five of us, and people started calling us, we did not give ourselves this nickname, all right, because that's not cool, but people started calling us the Fat Five, okay, P-H-P-H, okay, so they called us the Fat Five, and one time we went ahead and rented a billboard in Fremont for a summer, okay, so there we are, home of the Fat Five, we had that up, and we paid extra, we got it illuminated so everybody at night could see us even too, right? So why do we do stuff like that? Well, because we want to be seen, right? We want to be seen by others. This is the whole point of social media. That's why you got Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, whatever you got. All right, we do that because you know, we post the best picture that we can find. We want people to see what we have to say, as if what we have to say matters more than anybody else. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. We never seem to grow out of the look at me face. And we just get more sophisticated with it. Kids shout it, adults post it. It's all the same. And one time, Jesus walks right into that part of us, and he actually gives us like a pretty big warning. Again, before Jesus ever preached a sermon or before he ever performed some kind of miracle, people already had expectations about what he should be like. Okay? We see in the Old Testament that the Old Testament promise from God, God told was telling the Jewish people, saying, hey, someday I'm going to send a Savior. I'm going to send a Savior, the Savior that the Jewish people called the Messiah. This Messiah is going to come, and he's going to save you, all right, from whatever. And so the Jewish people, really what God's saying is he's going to save them from their sin, which is the best thing ever. It's the great news for us, that's for sure. But the Jewish people are thinking, yeah, that's cute, but we want to be saved politically. We want to be saved from the nations around us. We want to be a country again. And so the Jewish people, they expect a Messiah who would come fix the Rome problem. Remember, at this point in history, Rome owns most of the world. Rome owns Israel. I mean, they're the ones in charge, and they were oppressive, and they did terrible things to Jewish people. Right? The Jewish people expected a leader who would get their country back, or a king who would make Israel great again. And so, imagine the surprise when Jesus doesn't march to a throne. Instead, he walks up a big hill on the northern edge of a big lake. And instead of rallying an army to follow him, he just talks to ordinary people. And instead of promising power, he says things that are like the opposite of that. He says things like, it's actually better to be powerless. He says, it's better to be humble. He says, you guys should be peacemakers. He says, it's better to be persecuted by others. And we saw last week how Jesus, he came to challenge religion. Right? That's like his. He came to show us what God was actually like, not what just a bunch of religious people said God was like. Right? Religion, as defined by me, is a bunch of rules that you got to follow in order to appease God. So that someday when you die, he'll look at you and say, wow, you did a bunch of good stuff in life. You should come up to heaven. Like that's the whole reason behind all religions. Jesus did not come to start some sort of new religion. Jesus did not come to be some new religious figure that everybody could look to. Right? Jesus came to introduce a new way of living, which was just so opposite to our nature. It was so opposite to how every single one of us in here are wired, and nobody saw it coming. And so for the next couple weeks, we're still going to be working through Jesus' talk. It's a famous talk. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. But today, what we're going to see is that Jesus, he's going to change gears a little bit. Last week, it was more like, hey, you've heard this said, but you should do this, right? You've heard this said, but I say this. You do this, but you should do this. He kind of flips religion upside down. But today, he's actually going to give us a big warning. And we see this starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He says, be careful, meaning watch out, beware, guard yourself. Not to practice your righteousness, it's all the good stuff that you guys do. He says, not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. See, Jesus, he recognizes that every single one of us in here, we have a look at me problem. See, we want to be seen by others. We want attention by others. And this stems from kind of a me-first mentality that every single one of us are born with. I mean, we all know this. If you've been a parent for, I don't know, more than a minute, okay? One of the first words your kids learn is what? No and mine. Okay? You don't have to teach them that. Like, they just do it. Like, they just think about themselves first all the time. And so, knowing this, Jesus is saying, hey, doing good stuff is good, but watch out or be careful for the motivation behind the good stuff that you do. In which case, I think the crowd, they're all sitting there, you know, and they're all just like, wait, what? Jesus, are you saying that the reason why we do the good things that we do matter? Like the reason why matters? Are you saying, Jesus, that God cares about what motivates us? See, this was so different to the world back then, just like it's so different to how we think today. I mean, for these people, up until this point, they had been taught what most of us have been taught since we were little kids, that if you do good, all right, as long as you do good, then you're a good person. I mean, every single one of us at school and, you know, at your DARE officer and, you know, at home with your parents, like you're all taught, like we've all been taught to do good stuff, right? Right? Okay, because that was not a confident yes at first. We're all taught to do good things. We're taught to be good people. We want to be good members of society or, you know, whatever it might be. Work hard, all that kind of thing. But Jesus is saying, you know, yeah, I get that. You think that if you do a bunch of good stuff, then you are automatically a good person. And kind of logically, we're like, well, yeah. Like, how does it not work that way? But Jesus, what he does is he raises the standards. He's thinking on a deeper level. He's like, I get that's how you guys think, but that's not at all how God thinks. He says, it's not necessarily about the good stuff that you do. It's more about the why you do the good stuff that you do. And so he's saying, make sure you do whatever you do, make sure you do it for the right reasons. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Sounds kind of harsh. I'm like, no reward. What's that mean? Right? And the crowd's asking the same question. I mean, the crowd's like, okay, Jesus. I just got a question. You know, some guy in the crowd's raising his hand. He's like, so you're telling me that I could be the nicest kid at school? Like, I'm nice to everybody. Like, even the loser kid. You know, like, I'm nice to everybody at school. Or someone's like, so you're telling me, Jesus, I could be the hardest worker at work. Like the best worker my workplace has ever seen. Or you're telling me that I could be super generous with my time and I just try to help out everybody that I possibly can and I go out of my way for anybody, even the people that I don't like. And you're telling me I could be super generous with my money, like I'm a giver, like I'm always doing stuff for others. But if I don't do those things for the right reasons, you're telling me, Jesus, that God doesn't recognize that? Like God doesn't reward that? You're telling me that God doesn't even like, almost like he doesn't even see it? And I think Jesus, if you could picture this in your mind, he's sitting up on a big hill, sitting in the grass, behind him, or really in front of him, I think, you know, you got this huge lake. So they're right on kind of the shore, but they're up. I think maybe Jesus would have smiled. Because everybody's thinking the same thing. They're like, wait, what? That makes no sense. What are you talking about? Like, are you sure? Like that, I don't know. That just doesn't seem right. And Jesus says, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. He said, let me give you guys an example. And actually, what he's going to do is he's going to give us three examples here. Right? He says, picture this. So whenever you give to the poor, right? And everybody there would have known exactly what he's talking about. In Jewish society back then, they had this thing called almsgiving, okay? So that's something that most of them practiced. You got to remember, in that day and age, you had the oppressive foreign Roman government who did not support poor people at all. Like, they didn't care. They weren't even in that area. And so there's like no social security, no welfare, no food stamps, none of the stuff, okay? There's no support from the government by any means. And so if you had some disability, or if you weren't able to work or do really manual physical labor, what you would do is you'd have to go out to the street and kind of sit down all day and beg for money, right? That's what you'd do. That's the only way that you could survive. That's the only way that you could purchase food to eat. And so that's what you would have to do. And so a lot of people did that. And those were the poor people. And usually they were poor because they couldn't, because they couldn't physically do work. They had some issue. And so what most people would do is they would voluntarily give to those poor people who sat in the streets begging for help. All right? They're not sitting at home, you know, in their lazy boy collecting checks. Okay? That didn't exist. These people are out there. They're hustling. They're in the streets trying to get people to give them money so that they could have their next meal. So that's important. And so people would give to those people. Now, this was in addition to tithing to their local synagogue. So if you could picture this, really, every Jewish kid from a young age, they were taught to be generous in several different ways. Hey, you need to be generous here. You need to be generous there. You need to take care of your own and take care of the poor. You need to do all this stuff. And so as Jesus is talking to this crowd, what you got to understand is that most of the people in the crowd, they do this on a regular basis. They know exactly what he's talking about. They're like, I just did that yesterday. And he says, so whenever you give to the poor, what I want you to do is don't sound a trumpet before you. All right? And here he is. He's trying to be, you know, this is him being kind of funny. You know, his sense of humor. He's like, don't go before you and be like, da 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 da, check me out, everybody. Here I am in the street. There's a poor guy right here. And I am giving him, you know, here's 20 bucks, man. Go get yourself a chalupa. You know, did you guys all see that? Look how generous I am. I'm so generous. I just helped this guy out. You know, it's that type of thing. He's saying, don't give, or don't be generous. Don't do a good thing where everybody is watching you. Don't let that be your motivation. That's what the hypocrites do. And they do that in the synagogues. That was like their church back then for the Jewish people. Don't do that in church. Don't do that on the streets, in public. Don't do that to be applauded by people. Don't do that to be seen by others. He says, truly, I tell you, those people have their reward. And what is the reward? Their reward is the attention that they receive from all the people that are watching them do their really, really good thing. He's like, that's it. That's the reward you get. Nothing more. Like that's people being impressed at your spirituality, or people being impressed of how good of a person you are. He's like, that's as good as it get. God is not impressed. And God is not going, wow. That was so good. God is not like that, right? He's not impressed at all. He says, but when you give to the poor, it's interesting. He doesn't say if, he says when, right? Meaning Jesus assumed that his followers were going to be generous towards others. He says, but when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He says, don't announce it to anybody so that your giving may be in secret. He's saying, meaning nobody knows your generosity. Give in a way that nobody else knows about it. Give it in a way that nobody else can like praise you for it or applaud you for it, right? Which is interesting because there is no, you know, temptation. There's no temptation to say, hey, look at me. Look what I just did. Look at this really good thing when nobody knows. Right? If you do it in a secret way, then there's no temptation to say, hey, did you check that out? He says, don't do that. But your Father who sees in secret, he will reward that. And the crowd's trying to figure this out. The crowd's like, okay, all right, that's not the way we've ever viewed it before, but okay, I think I'm tracking with you. And maybe they had some confused faces. And so Jesus is like, all right, let me try this again. All right, think about another way. He says, like, think about it this way. Whenever you pray, right? And everybody in the crowd, this is a Jewish crowd. I mean, they're all pretty religious. They're like, okay, yeah, we pray. We pray all the time. I mean, they had like written prayers. They had prayers that they memorized. I mean, they had all the different prayers, similar to a lot of churches even today. He says, whenever you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites. See, Jesus, he had no tolerance for pretenders. He had no tolerance for fakers. And here he is, he's talking about the religious people. He's saying, don't pray like the religious people or the religious leaders, those people who think they're so good because they do all this religious stuff. He says, whenever you pray, you must not pray like them because they love to pray standing in the synagogues or standing at church and out on the street corners. And they do this in public to be seen by people. Meaning these people just want to be seen. They just want to be seen by everybody. That's their motivation. That's what's going on in their heart. They want the attention. They want people to think, wow, that dude is so religious. Man, check that out. That guy is so spiritual. Yeah, I mean, he's got some good prayers. Like, I wish I could be as spiritual as that guy. Like, that's what they're going for. That's the reaction that they're looking for. It's funny because sometimes people will come up to me like out here after church and stuff, and they're like, they'll start telling me about all the good stuff that they're doing. You know, like, check me out. Look at this. Like I do all this stuff. I trying to impress their pastor. I think that's what they're doing. You know, I get that guy who's like, I get up. You know, I get up early in the morning, and I spend 2 hours with the Lord every day. You know, I'm like, cool. Okay. Or I read my Bible every day. I got that. You got that Bible Streak app, you know, that has the streak on it, like 243 days and counting. You know, straight, I've been in my Bible, check it out. Like we get pride in that. One time I had this one person who was like telling me about all the Bibles that they got. It's like, man, I got this Bible and this Bible and this Bible and this Bible. I got this whole collection of Bibles. And I use this Bible for this and I use that Bible for that. And this Bible I use over here. And then that Bible I bring to church. And that's my church Bible. That's my, you know, just all these different Bibles. And I'm like, oh, why are you telling me this? You know, like what? I don't care about your Bibles. Sorry, you know, that type of thing. Or sometimes people will be like, hey, I've been to church every week for the last 6 months. Check me out, you know? Or I listen to this guy every day. Or I listen to this pastor online all the time. I listen to this podcast while I'm working. I listen to this all week. Like, I know so much. And it's like, all good stuff. But my question is like, why are you telling me this? You know? Because we want to be seen. That's the reason. And so Jesus is saying, truly I tell you, they have the reward. Like, that's it. That's all you get. They get the attention of everyone who's watching. That's all you get. You get the attention of everybody who's listening to you brag about all your good stuff. That's all you'll receive. He says, but when you pray, which really should get us wondering in here, when do you pray? You know, like, do you set aside time each day to just pray? And let me kind of define prayer real quick, because some of us, we grew up in, you know, some religious whatever, and we view prayer as like this ultra-religious thing. Like, you have to get on your knees and put your hands like this, and you got to bow your heads, close your eyes. You got to do all the things, you know what I mean? And that's like what a real prayer is, and you got to make it sound like super Christian and, you know, all the things. That's not what prayer is. It's not anything that God's impressed with, okay? Prayer, let me just define this for you, is super simple. It's just you talking to God. That's it. Doesn't matter what you're doing, where you're at. You know, it's just you talking to God. Imagine that. We have a God who enjoys us just talking to him. And you could tell him about all kinds of things. You could tell him about your day, even though he already knows. All right, you could tell him about what's worrying you that shouldn't be worrying you, what you're anxious about. You could talk to him about all that stuff. You could thank him for all the stuff that you've given him, that he's given you, you know? Like, you could thank him for all that stuff. And that takes up a bunch of time just right there. All right, you can ask him for things. I mean, we're really good at that part. We're like, oh, I got the asking thing down. I ask him for stuff every day, you know? Like, that's simply what it is. It's just you talking to him. And so my question is, when do you do that? Do you do that? Is that an important thing in your life? Because it should be. He says, when you pray, this is what I want you to do. Instead of praying up, standing, you know, and for everybody to see, he says, actually, you should just go into like a private room, like a closet or something. So your kids don't see it necessarily, or your wife, you know, or husband or whoever. Just you and God, shut the door and just pray to your Father who's in secret. Now, the Father here, if you notice, Jesus doesn't say, go pray to my mama. Did you notice that? No, it's not there, okay? He doesn't say, hey, go pray to a bunch of dead people who were really good and did a bunch of good stuff a long time ago, right? Like a saint. He doesn't say that. Like, it's just, I'm just saying, it's just not there. He doesn't even say, what I want you to do is go get in a closet, just you and God, and pray to me. Did you notice that? Right? A lot of us, the way we start off our prayers is like, dear Jesus. You know, and it's like, actually, that's not how Jesus taught us to pray. We are to pray straight to God the Father, right? We pray straight to God, not through anybody else, whatever any other church, it's just not there, all right? We are to pray. We have a direct line of communication with God, our creator. He's saying, I want you to pray to God, and I want you, Jesus is saying, to view him as a father. Now, the idea of father was not necessarily a new concept for the Jewish people, but Jesus is using father differently than the way it was used in the Old Testament. Jesus came to show us what God was actually like. And so one of these things, this is kind of where he corrects us. The term that Jesus uses for father here is actually a very super personal term. It's almost like the idea of daddy or papa or, you know, whatever. I think maybe the best way to translate this into English is just simply dad. God's saying, Jesus is saying, I want you to view God as your dad. And the crowd, again, they're just like, what? Like, Jesus, we get that God's your father because, Jesus, you call yourself the Son of God, which just logically means that God must be your father. And, like, we understand that. But for them, they're going, but God's not our dad. We've never viewed God as, like, our dad. Yeah, he's our king, sure. He's our God. He's our Lord, yes. But dad? And Jesus is like, yeah, dad. I want you to view him as your heavenly, perfect dad because that's exactly what he is. And your dad, who sees in secret, will reward you. Jesus is saying, here's what I want you to do. This is how you pray. All right? Instead of going out and praying in front of everybody else so they all look at you and go, wow, I really want to be like that guy. He says, I want you to go find a place where you can have a private conversation with your heavenly dad. No distractions. Just you and God. And what I want you to do is just go talk to him. That's it. Not because people are watching or you want to look super spiritual to a bunch of other people, but because you actually want to talk to your dad. And when you approach God that way, Jesus is saying, he sees it. That's what he rewards. Jesus says, and by the way, let me just throw this out there. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles. Don't babble like the religious people who just kind of go on and on and on and on. It's almost like Jesus is like, I hate that. All right, so don't do that. Like, don't talk to me like that or don't talk to God like that. Since they imagine that they'll be heard for their many words, don't just go on and on and on. Talk. It's not about how many words you use in a prayer. It's not about how long your prayers are. He says, just please don't be like them. You ever pray with someone who's super long-winded? You know what I'm talking about? Those people? All right, not saying they have a lot to say about, like, to pray about. That a lot of times our prayers can be long because we got a bunch of stuff that we want to talk to God about. All right, that's totally fine. But I'm talking about the people who just kind of go on and on and on without much thought. They usually sound super polished, super professional, super long. Their prayers sound so good. They sound so spiritual. Those kind of prayers, you know. Jesus says, yeah, that's how not to do it. Don't be like those people. Don't pray just to be seen by others. And I think maybe the crowd, they're all like, okay, we're starting to understand this. Jesus is like, let me give you one more example. Okay, think of it this way. He says, whenever you fast. Now, whenever church people, you start talking about fasting, people get all like sweaty and nervous and stuff. Like, oh man, okay, I don't do that. Like, I gotta eat, you know? Let me explain what fasting is real quick. Fasting, at least in the biblical sense, is intentionally going without food for a period of time so that you can focus on your all your attention on God, okay? So that's the reason behind it. We see this all the time in the Old Testament. But today in Christian circles, it seems like we either over-spiritualize it or we view fasting as like some ancient religious punishment that we don't want to do, okay? So that's kind of how we view it. But Jesus did not require or demand that his followers fast, in which case a lot of us are like, okay, all right, I'm listening, I'm in, okay. All right, he didn't. In fact, what I would argue is that the religious leaders, if you remember, they actually complained that Jesus and his followers didn't fast. That was one of their main complaints. Like, why aren't you guys fasting with us? You guys should be fasting. Fasting is a spiritual thing. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you showing everybody that you should be doing it? You know, it's just all that stuff. And so fasting is not required. It's not punishment. It's not dieting, okay? It's not spiritual bragging rights. It's not anything like that. But God presents it as something that is good for us to do once in a while. And so the crowd is very familiar with fasting. In fact, the Jewish religious people, these are the people that were always butting heads with Jesus, they fasted all the time. They fasted every Monday. They didn't eat. They fasted every Thursday. And they made sure that everyone knew it. He says, for they are like hypocrites. He says, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites. Don't be gloomy like those religious people, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. They want you to know that they're fasting. They want you to know, look how spiritual I am. I'm fasting. And so they walk around, they're like, oh man, I'm so hungry. Oh, that burger looks so good, but I can't do it. Not today. I will say no. I will not be tempted because I'm fasting. I'm so spiritual. I'm spending time with God. Did you hear me? You know, is that type of thing? And so I'm just going to be miserable doing my spiritual stuff, but I'm strong and I'll, you know, it's just that type of thing. He's like, don't do that. God doesn't look at that and go, wow, look at them suffering for me. You know, like God doesn't do that. He says, truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Their reward, again, it's the same reward. They get the attention of everyone who's watching, and that's all they get. God is not impressed. He says, but when you do fast, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. All right, put oil on your head and wash your face. Basically, he's saying, look normal. Okay, make yourself look normal. Comb your hair, put your makeup on, do your normal stuff. Do not look miserable. He says, so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your father or your dad who is in secret, and your dad who sees in secret will reward you. See, this was something that the crowd, which again was full of a bunch of Jewish people, had never heard before. And so the question is, what if the most important part of doing good isn't the good that you actually do, but the motivation behind it? See, the crazy thing about motive is that it's only you and Jesus that know, right? I mean, I don't know. I look at you, I don't know. You guys might be sitting here or standing here earlier in the service. You might be singing, you're doing your thing, you're getting really into like worshiping God, you're thinking about the words, and you raise your hands in the air. That's cool, fine. Do whatever you want to do, right? Or you might be standing here, you're singing, and you're thinking about the people around you, and the thought enters your mind, and I don't even blame you because the thought enters our minds all the time, and you're thinking, man, people are watching, I really want to look spiritual today, and so it gets to that part of the song, you know? Blaine's going crazy up here. I mean, you know what part I'm talking about. And then you're just like, worship, you know. And then you're like, I hope everybody sees. Look how spiritual I am. You know, I just look it right now. I'm just saying, I don't know. Like from here, y'all look good. Your problem is, and my problem, is that God knows the heart. God knows what's going on in here. Just on Thursday morning, I showed up to work, and it had just snowed, okay? And we were getting ready to open up the hangar. That opens up at 9 a.m., so a bunch of moms and kids are going to be coming in. And so I'm like, well, this needs shoveled. And I was the only one here at this point. And one thing that really bothers me just in leadership in general are leaders who won't do like the worst jobs. You know what I mean? Like leaders who won't do the work, leaders who won't do the jobs that nobody wants to do. And I've had some examples in my life that I can look to and say, I want to be a leader like that. I want to be a leader like this. Like I need to be willing to pick up the trash when the trash falls over, like that type of thing. And so I was like, well, you know, I guess it's on me because nobody else is here. And so I get the shovel, start go out there shoveling, and it was freezing out on Thursday. Man, my ears are like just hurting, my hands are cold. Like I'm just like, man, this is no fun. And I'm doing it, but it's all good. And then the thought enters my mind, I go, I hope the guys get here and see me doing this. You know what I mean? Cause this ain't my job. But I'm willing to do it because I'm a good leader, right? Like I hope they see what good leadership looks like right here. And this is fine. I'm okay. And here I am. I'm shoveling away, you know. And I'm like, I hope they see me. This will be a great example for them, you know, right here. Leadership. And then right at that moment, I know exactly where I was standing out there on the sidewalk. I'm like, dang it. I'm doing it. Like I'm doing the thing that like Jesus is talking about here. The thing that I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. Like I'm doing it right here, right now. See, Jesus is saying the world doesn't need more heartless good stuff done. Jesus is saying the world doesn't need more heartless religious performance. Motive matters. See, doing good stuff is good. Being generous is good. Praying is good. Fasting is good. Serving God and obeying God is good. But it's totally possible. And like most of us, probably most of us in our lives, it's totally usual to take all that good that we do and just do it for the wrong audience. I mean, think about it. Logically, this is how my brain thinks. When we do good stuff so that others see it, so that they think that we're disciplined and they think that we're generous and they think that we're impressive and they think that we're super spiritual, we're not actually serving God. We're actually using God. We're using our spiritual activity to advance you. That's what we're doing. And actually, God becomes a tool to build my reputation. And so generosity becomes PR management and prayer becomes image management and fasting becomes branding in our life. And Jesus is saying, no, if you want to be seen, like I get it. It's the sin in you. Like, I understand that. But Jesus is saying, applause is small. Applause is temporary. Applause doesn't change you. Applause does not follow you into eternity. But when the audience changes, and when the goal isn't, hey, look at me, when the goal changes and when it becomes, hey, no, no, don't look at me. Look at him. When motivation shifts from impressing people to enjoying our perfect dad, Jesus says, your dad sees that. He rewards that. And that reward isn't applause. It's relationship. It's closeness. It's knowing God, not using God. And so maybe the question for you this week isn't how much good am I doing or how good of a person I am. But really the question is, who am I really doing it for? Am I doing those good things to be seen by friends or my coworkers or my boss? Or am I doing that good thing to be seen by my heavenly dad? One gives applause. The other gives reward. And you get to choose your audience. Let's pray. God, we thank you for these words. Lord, this does not come natural for us. We struggle with this. God, it's so easy for us to do good things, and we hope that other people see us, that other people know about it or hear about it or whatever. But God, when we do that, we're actually doing good for the wrong reasons, which means we're not doing good at all. You are not impressed with us doing good things to advance us. And Lord, I think every single one of us in this room, we do this a lot more than we think. So God, we need your help. And we need you to help us to focus on on you, on our dad, who's perfect and who's a good dad. Help us to do good for you. Help you to be our motivation. God, we thank you for everything. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.